at the, I guess it was probably around October, September of last year. I was going through my mail. I get a lot of mail as a pastor. You get a lot of ministries contacting you and sending you things. And a lot of times they're asking for support. And it's hard to go through them all and read them all. And you want to give each one their proper due and pray about each one to see if you need to help them in any way. And as I was going through my mail, a particular ministry that I had never heard of before came across my desk. And it was a ministry called Mercy Ministries. Well, anyway, I just saw the cover on it. And when I saw the cover, I just couldn't put it down. I don't know if you've ever had anything like that happen to you before. But I just held it in my hand and I tried to put it down and tried to move on to something else. But I couldn't do it. So I just left it there on my desk. Well, each day I'm going in and sitting down at that desk and I'm seeing it there. And, you know, a lot of times my desk will get cluttered because so much paperwork and things come through that I'll go through and just start throwing stuff away. Well, I'm getting ready to throw all this stuff away and I put my hand on this little deal to throw it away and I couldn't. Something wouldn't let me. Well, a couple of days later, that happened several times. A couple of days later, I'm talking to my sister-in-law. And she starts talking to me about Mercy Ministries. And so I start picking her brain a little bit to find out what she knew about it. And then I just decided, well, I'll do a little bit of research. And the more research I did, the more God led me to be involved with it and to be a partner of it. So I just started sowing monthly support. Now, what Mercy Ministries is, it's a ministry for young girls who are trapped in different types of bondages. A lot of times they don't have family. A lot of times they're just hurting in any number of different ways. And they come and live at this home, the Mercy Ministries home. And basically, the staff of Mercy Ministries seeks to rehabilitate these girls. Well, I got a newsletter a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to read it to you about this one particular girl who was found herself in Mercy Ministries. She said, "Before coming to Mercy, my life was a disaster. I was sexually abused for many years, and by age 11, I had started using drugs to cope with the shame, fear, and guilt I carried." Can you imagine? 11 years old. "I repeatedly overdosed and ended up in a hospital and various treatment programs, but nothing seemed to help. I attempted suicide when the drugs could no longer numb the pain. Eventually, I moved in with a boyfriend and we planned to get married. Those plans were shattered when he and his mother attempted to stop a robbery and were killed. When they died, I wanted to die too. I started hanging out with drug dealers and began selling drugs as well as my body. One night, I began to cry, thinking about how disgusted I was with myself. And at that time, I remembered a pastor from long ago talking about Mercy Ministries. I checked out the website, read a few of the testimonies, and decided it wouldn't hurt to apply. At Mercy, God has done a major work in my heart and life. He's given me beauty for ashes. I know now that I'm clean and pure and that God loves every single part of me. What was done to me was not his plan for my life. He has given me purpose and a reason to live. And everything the enemy stole from me, God has restored sevenfold. Now that I have graduated from Mercy, completely transformed by God's love, I know he will use every bit of the pain I experience to help other people be set free. I plan to attend college and pursue a degree in Christian counseling so that I can help rescue and restore victims of human trafficking." Isn't that neat? Well, I said all of that to say this. You know, you should support Mercy Ministries if the Lord puts it on your heart to do so. It's a wonderful ministry. But I was reading that, and when I was going through it, just reading over it, a phrase jumped out at me. She was talking about all the pain she was in, wanting to give up on life. And one night in the middle of all that pain, she remembered. She remembered a pastor from a long time ago talking about a particular ministry, Mercy Ministries. And as I was reading that, that phrase jumped out at me. And I thought, what if she hadn't remembered? What if she was sitting there and she hadn't remembered what that preacher said years ago? How different would her life be? I mean, think about destiny. How fragile of a thing it really is. What if she hadn't remembered it? Where would her life be at today? Now she's out going to college, getting ready to get a degree to help people turn around their lives. But what if she hadn't remembered? Friends, there is a resource that you have as a Christian. I'll put it to you this way. A competitive advantage. And this resource is a part of the Lord. Really, you know, the Lord is three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed three in one. And the Father has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell with you and in you. And He's got a job description. And for those of us who will learn to work with and cooperate the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you'll see a fullness of life that you can't find anywhere else. As a young boy, I've said this before, but as a young boy, I grew up in a church like this. And so in a Spirit-filled church, we're not afraid to make mention of the Holy Spirit. I almost entitled this Ghostbusters, I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. But I didn't go there. No, we're not afraid of the Holy Spirit. We don't reserve them to a back room. In fact, if you study out the New Testament, you find that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is one that is prevalent. In fact, if you study out the words of Jesus, Jesus preached the sermons on the kingdom of God, and all of those sermons generally had one of three themes. Either one, they were targeted towards faith. Either two, they were targeted towards love. Either three, they were targeted towards the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the life of the believer. And friends, I'm telling you, there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit that He wants to open up to you and help you to walk in. And there's a scripture here in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22 that I think will open this up to us. Genesis 5 and verse 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." Now you can leave that scripture up in the Amplified if you will. Enoch walked with God. I love my wife. I mean, I love my wife. Of all the things that God's blessed, I'm going to stay on subject. Of all the things that God's blessed me with, other than His Son Jesus, my wife has been the greatest gift to me, other than that sacrifice of His Son. I'm telling you, she's made me a better man. I mean, I love her. She makes my liver quiver. I mean, she's wonderful. And one of the things that I enjoy most about our relationship is the rich fellowship we have. And one of the things that we'll do, and I love it when we get a chance to do it, is go on a walk and just take a walk. And it just seems for us, I know every relationship is different, but it seems to me that when we go on that walk, it almost as if seems as if the fellowship just gets richer. That there's a more of a sharing. You know, so oftentimes in the world we live in, it's so busy and so hectic. Well, I'll put it to you this way. There's just so much noise. You know, you got cell phones ringing and buzzing, and there's a different ringtone for when someone calls, and then if they text message, it beeps, and if you get an email, it buzzes, and you got all of these different things that distract you. And it just seems as if on those walks, all the distractions get eliminated. And the fellowship, the quality of it, the richness of it, just increases. I'll put it to you this way. It's almost a sharing of life together. where you're talking with her and I'm talking with her and she's talking to me, and we get in over into some deeper things. It's a sharing of life. When the Bible talks about Enoch walking with God, it's not just talking about walking. It's talking about enjoying a richness of fellowship, not a monologue where Enoch's just talking to God, but to where Enoch is hearing from God. In fact, you'll see this in the Amplified. It says, and Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. Think about that. This man walked in habitual fellowship with the Lord. This was not just something he did every once in a while. This was his life. It was a habit. Fellowshipping, communing, walking with the Lord. Is it possible? Is it possible for you, for me, for an individual to walk with the Lord? To not just talk to Him, but for Him to instruct us. For Him to guide us. For Him to lead us. Is it possible to hear from the Lord? Can you have that in your life? And if you could, how much different would that make life? Making a decision based off of something that the Lord gave you guidance on. Treating people based off of the wisdom that the Lord gave you insight with. Imagine making a decision on what job to take because you heard from the Lord to take it. Don't you think that that job would probably work out a little bit better than just a recommendation made by a friend? Would the Lord know which jobs were available? Would He know? Of course He would. He's all-knowing. But what if He could talk to you about it? Would the Lord know the hearts of all people and who really had your best interest at heart? Sure He does. He knows everything. What if He could talk to you about it? Would He know which investments would work and which ones wouldn't? Sure He does. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. What if He could talk to you about it? Does the Lord know how to train children? Does He know how to train your children? Yes, He does. What if He could talk to you about it? What if instead of being frustrated with Him, you could go into a place and walk with the Lord for a second or two and receive guidance, insight on how to turn that around? What if the Lord could talk to you? As a little child, I just made a decision. If I could hear from the Lord, I'd have it made. I mean, it just made sense to me. If I could hear from God, if I could know what He was saying to me, I would have it made. If I could hear from God on where to go to school, on where to go to college, on what jobs to take, on who to marry, if I could hear from God on those things would bound to work out okay. Enoch walked with God. Could you possibly walk with God? Have habitual fellowship, not just a monologue of you talking to Him, but a dialogue with Him talking to you too? We know it's possible because Enoch did it. Well, someone says, well, that's not what it says. It says he walked with God. Well, the word walk means fellowship, a sharing together. But just in case you doubt it, let's look at a couple of more scriptures around it. Can people hear from God? Well, apparently they can. Let's look here in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. Genesis 2 and verse 16. And it said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat. Is God talking here? Did Adam hear here? Yes, he did. Okay, let's go over to Genesis chapter 3 and let's look at verse 8. Genesis 3 and verse 8. And it said, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Did people hear the voice of God? Yes, they did. Okay, let's go over to Genesis 3 and verse 13. This is not just a man thing. This is a woman thing as well. Genesis 3 and verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, is God talking to women? All right, let's keep going. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's just look at this. Genesis 4 and verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? God's talking to a man who's about to commit murder. And the man is hearing from him. All right, don't like that? Let's go over to Noah. Genesis chapter 7. And let's look here in verse 1. And it said, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou all thy house into the ark, for thee and I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. You keep reading. I could go on and on and on. I've got tons of scriptures I could take you to just around Enoch walking with God. But you can read Genesis all the way to Revelations and see almost in every book of the Bible, God talking to people, dealing with people. This is not just reserved to a select few. This is not just reserved to a minister or to prophets or to pastors. God is talking. And there are some people who hear him more than others. Now, let me just stop right here and say, I believe in being naturally supernatural. I don't like people walking with their heads in the clouds and their feet off the ground. Amen. It's when the natural and the supernatural come together and make an explosive force for God. And so people oftentimes can take a subject like this and get weird with it. We're not going to get weird with it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't get weird. We don't want any, as Charles Capps would say, granola. What's granola? It's made up of nuts, fruits, and flakes. We don't want any granola. But here we see the Lord talking to people. Can he do it? Obviously he can. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We've just seen multiple scriptures within the first couple of chapters in the Bible. God talking with people. Now the second question is God a respecter of persons? No, he's not. If he talks to one, that means he can talk to someone else, or else that would mean God is unjust. Can you walk in habitual fellowship with the Lord? Can you talk to the Lord and the Lord talk to you? We see in the New Testament where Jesus, God made manifest in the flesh, walked on this earth. And I love how John put it in 1 John. We handled him. We heard from him. Basically, John had a realization that this was not just a man, but this was God. And they got to literally walk with God in the flesh. And John saw that and had a revelation of it. And the other disciples got it too. And so we see in the book of John, the Gospel of John, Jesus come to his disciples and he tells them, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave. I'm not going to be here forever. And when he tells them that, they panic. I mean, they slap panic. And they're telling him, don't leave us. Let's go over and look at it. Go over to the book of John. If on the screen you can stay in the Amplified, that'd be great. John chapter 13. Jesus is telling them, I'm not going to be with you forever. And when he says that, they start to panic. And watch what happens here in John chapter 13. And let's see here in verse 36. John 13 and verse 36. It says, and Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus is telling him, I'm going to a place where you can't go. And so he's asking him, where are you going? And Jesus answered him and said, where I go, thou cannot follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now here we see Jesus once again telling his disciples he's going to leave them. They've left all to follow him and they get nervous. And so Jesus starts preaching a message directly to them, sharing a message to them. And this message continues from John chapter 14 all the way through John chapter 16. You can see it's continuous read there. He's sharing with them. Now the words that we're about to read are some of the most wonderful words in the Bible. Literally, these words are words of life. And if you can understand what Jesus is saying here, it can open up a new level of living. Now, once again, this is not Pastor Joel preaching here. This is Jesus preaching here. We're just expounding on his words. And I will say this again. Don't ever just take me because I'm good looking and run with my words. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't just believe me because I have a pastor title by my name. Don't believe me because we're just up here having church. No, never believe a preacher unless you see multiple scriptures proving that point. We want evidence. Throw out religion, throw out all of that other kind of stuff, and seek after evidence. Don't just accept me because I'm a preacher, accept my words because I'm preaching. You want evidence for what you believe. And I want you to see some of the things Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 14. Go down to verse 16. He begins telling them words to comfort them. Their hearts are disturbed. They're nervous. Jesus, God in the flesh, whom they've left everything to follow, is leaving them. And so he starts giving them words to comfort them. The first thing he talks about is heaven. Then he starts talking about loving each other. They'll have each other. You've got heaven. You've got each other. And then he starts talking about someone else. Not something else. Someone else. And watch what he tells them here in John chapter 14 and verse 16. He says, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you," if you have a pen or a highlighter, underline this, "another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So they're disturbed. Jesus is leaving. Jesus is telling them things to comfort their hearts. He starts talking about a heaven. And he starts talking about you have each other. And he says, "I'm going to give you something else, someone else. I'm going to give you another comforter." Now, this word comforter is a huge word. The Amplified brings it out quite nicely in John chapter 14 and verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Now notice what this word comforter means. Counselor. Have you ever gone to a counseling appointment, and in that counseling appointment, you ask a question, and they just sit there? Is that really a counselor? No, if you come in for, just say you set up a counseling appointment with Pastor Joel, and we come in and you sit down, and I sit down, and you start talking, and I just sit there, would I be counseling you? No, counseling would mean I'm showing you something, I'm telling you something, I'm answering your questions to help you with something. The Holy Spirit, this is who Jesus is talking about here, is another comforter. And part of his job description is counselor. Notice what else? He's a helper. We're going to cover all these words. Helper. He's an intercessor. He's an advocate. He's a strengthener. He's a standby, and he will remain with you forever. Jesus is saying, don't let your hearts be disturbed. Yes, I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you another comforter, someone who's just like me. And he will be a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, and he will remain with you forever. Let's keep reading here in John chapter 14. And notice this scripture in verse 26. Jesus is still talking about the comforter, but he says, "The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Who's this other comforter? It is the Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall," number one, "teach you all things." Could I teach you without talking to you? No. So if the Holy Spirit, who's talking here? Is this Pastor Joel? No, this is Jesus talking. And Jesus is saying, "I'm going to send you another comforter. He's going to be a counselor to you, and he will teach you all things." Does that mean that at some point in your life, if the Holy Spirit is really teaching you, you're going to hear from God? Absolutely it does. He will teach you all things. Number one, he will teach you all things. Number two, he will bring all things to your remembrance. "Whatsoever I have said unto you." What if that girl hadn't remembered? Where did that thought come from? Sitting there in despair, thinking about giving up on life, but she remembers a pastor years ago talking about a ministry. Why did that thought come above every other thought? What if it hadn't come? The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. If you are a born-again child of God, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is yours. He will, one, teach you all things. He will, two, bring all things to your remembrance. But Jesus is not done talking about the Holy Spirit. Watch this. He goes over. He keeps talking all the way into John chapter 16. And watch what he says here in verse 7. John 16 and verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Now he's shifting. He's saying, not only am I leaving, but it's actually good for you that I go. It's good for you that I leave. Jesus is saying it's good for you to his disciples that I'm not here anymore. Why? It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Watch this in the Amplified. He says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth. And I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him unto you to be in close fellowship with you. Notice God's intent for the Holy Spirit was for him to come to be in close fellowship with you. And Jesus said it would be good, expedient, and advantageous for you to be in close fellowship with him. Well, you can see why. It's good, Jesus said, that I go away. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be advantageous. For when I go, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. He's going to be in close fellowship with you. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say in verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you." He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Watch this in the Amplified. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. He will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. The Holy Spirit. God sent him to you to be your teacher, to be your guide in life, to help you make decisions, to instruct you in the way that you should go. He sent him to be in close fellowship with you. Well, why would you need him? Why would you need the Holy Spirit? Why would a Christian, why could these words be some of the most valuable words you ever hear? Why, above all other lessons that Jesus could have taught on when he's leaving his disciples, why is he breaking down this message, going into such detail about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you why. Go over to Hebrews. We'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And if on the screens, you can go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. And you can go in the regular King James for that. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. We're going to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. This scripture in Hebrews 12 has been in my heart for weeks. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. And on the screens, Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. We're closing with this. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which just doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. The Living Bible says the particular course that God has set for you. Run the race that is set before you. You understand what he's saying here? There's a set race for your life. There is a plan for your life. A set race. A place where you are to live. A job where you are to work. People you are supposed to be around. A set plan for your life. God didn't just put you on earth to live, to function, to do just anything. No, he puts you on this earth for a purpose, a set reason. This set reason for your life was planned for you even before you were born. Watch this in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. He's telling Jeremiah, before you were ever in your mother's tummy, I set a plan up for your life. There is a plan for your life, a set race for you to run. Paul said, I have finished my course. Not just any course, I finished my course. I ran my race. Paul knew what his race was. Do you? Do you know the set plan God has for your life? Romans chapter 11, I love this scripture. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29 says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Meaning as long as you are on this earth, living this life, God's plan for your life will never change. And this is why there are so many people living completely dissatisfied, because they're running a race, but it's not the race God set for them. And they're living a life, but it's not the life God set up for them. There is a plan for your life. God set that plan up for you before you were born. And as long as you are on this earth, that plan will never change. Do you see why Jesus said, it's good for you that I leave? Because if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But when he comes, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I've spoken to you. He will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. Friends, how on earth could you get into the set plan that God had for your life if you can't hear from God? How would you know you were even in it? How would you know what steps to take next? Unless you walked with him, unless you were in close fellowship with him. How would you know you were doing his will if you never heard his will? And so there's a multitude of people who are snapping up books trying to find God's plan for their life. And the books are great, but the only one who can tell you that plan is not a counselor or even a good preacher. The only one who can tell you God's plan for your life is God. And so you and I have to know, need to know, how to walk with God, how to hear from God, how to commune with him, how to have rich fellowship. And it is possible. Now, we're starting this series today. I don't know if I'll continue it on Wednesday nights or on Sunday mornings. I just knew I was supposed to preach it today. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Don't forget it. I'm telling you now in advance, next Sunday is Mother's Day. So put that on your calendar. I've got a Mother's Day message plan. It's cute. It's nice. I'm hoping I get to preach it. We'll see what happens. But either way, on Sunday or Wednesdays, we're going to pick up with this, how to hear from God. And I'm going to teach you line by line, precept by precept, scripture by scripture, how to do it. how to walk with God. And at the end of this, you will know explicitly how to do it. And from there, you can walk the set plan, run the set race God has ordained for your life. Every head bowed, let's pray.